This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll begin today's session on the beautiful names of Allah the Exalted, أسماء الله الحسنى, with the name of Allah Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz, meaning the Ever Almighty. Al-Aziz, the name of Allah Al-Aziz, occurs 92 times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And for Allah is the highest attribute, and He is the exalted in might, the wise. So the name of Allah Al-Aziz occurs, as I mentioned, 92 times in the Quran. And Al-Aziz means Dhul Izzah, meaning the one who has all Izzah, meaning all completely and entirely Izzah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Izzah basically mean? Izzah has four meanings. The first meaning of the word Izzah is Al-Qadr, meaning honor and dignity. So we learn in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that all honor and dignity belong to Allah, to His Messenger, and to the believers. So Al-Aziz means the one who is ever honorable. Then secondly, the word Izzah also means قُوَّة, or power and might. So we learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He sent two messengers to a people, and then فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ, and then we strengthened them with a third. So meaning we added to their power, to their might, with a third. So Al-Aziz, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is ever powerful, ever mighty. And then thirdly, the word Izzah also means Al-Imtina'. And Al-Imtina' means to resist and to withstand. So Al-Aziz is the one who is invincible, meaning he is not to be overcome. He is unattainable, meaning it is not possible for people to harm him or to compete with him. And then finally, the fourth meaning of the word Izzah is Al-Qahr and Ghalaba, meaning to conquer and prevail. So we learn in the Quran that a disputant who came to Dawood alayhi salam, he said, وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ, that this person, this other person, عَزَّنِي, he overcame me, meaning he defeated me in argument. So عَزَّ also means to conquer and to prevail over someone, to overcome them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz, is who? The one who overcomes and conquers and prevails, and He is not to be overcome. Now, keeping these four meanings of Izzah in mind, what does it mean for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, so this means that He is the most honorable, meaning no one, nobody is more important and more honorable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that we should show that dignity and power and that respect to Him. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, meaning no one is more honorable than Him, then we should think of Allah in that way. And we should worship Him, and we should stand before Him in that way. We learn in the Quran, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorified He is perfect. He is the Lord of all honor and dignity, meaning all honor is His. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, meaning He has the power to do whatever that He wants, meaning nothing at all is hard for Him. He is the possessor of strength, who faces no incapacity, meaning He does not suffer from any weakness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, meaning His might transcends all might and power, so nothing can defeat Him, no one can harm Him, as we learn in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my servants, you will never be able to harm me. لَن تَبْلُغُوا ضَرِّي, meaning you will never be able to harm me, and you will never be able to benefit me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, meaning that He is severe in His punishment. And then He is Al-Aziz, meaning He is the bestower of honor, of power, of might, of strength. And He gives izzah to whomsoever He wills, and He takes it away from whomsoever He wills. As we learn in the Quran, وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ, that you give honor to whom you will, and you give might and power to whom you will, and then وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ, you humiliate, you bring down whomsoever you will. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, it means that His friends, His helpers are not to be humiliated. Those who believe in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give them honor and dignity, and He will strengthen them with help from Himself. Now, when we look at the name of Allah Al-Aziz in the Quran, we see that it is paired with some beautiful names. So first of all, we see that the name of Allah Al-Aziz is paired with Al-Alim. So for example, we learn in the Quran, ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, that this is the decree of the one who is Al-Aziz, Almighty, and Al-Alim, the one who knows. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might is with His perfect knowledge. We see that when the creation has some might and power, we see that we begin to abuse our power, or we don't even realize what we are able to do with the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Meaning our power and ability is paired with what? With our ignorance and foolishness, with oppression, with abuse of power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of any such fault. Then we see that the name of Allah Al-Aziz is also paired with Al-Hakim in the Quran. So we learn, wa'lam anna Allaha azizun hakim, that you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty and all-wise. Meaning, again, His power is with His wisdom. He does not abuse His power. He does not oppress with His power. Rather, He is all-wise in what He decides, in what He carries out in His creation. And then we see that the name of Allah Al-Aziz is also paired with Al-Ghafoor. Subhanallah, Ghafoor and Ghafar, meaning the one who is ever forgiving. Inna Allaha Azizun Ghafoor. Meaning on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty in His punishment, severe in His punishment. And at the same time, He's also forgiving. So the name of Allah Aziz, it instills fear in us. But then this fear should not be such that we are incapacitated by that fear, or we become paralyzed by that fear. At the same time, we have also been given hope that Allah is Ghafoor. We learn, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفَّارُ. He is Al-Aziz, the Mighty, and Ghaffar, perpetual forgiver. And then we see that the name of Allah Al-Aziz is also paired with Al-Hamid, meaning the one who is praiseworthy. So He is the Lord of honor, meaning very honorable. And He's also perfect in His being, which is why He is worthy of praise, whether or not people praise Him. We see that when it comes to the creation, a lot of times people may have a lot of power and status, but that doesn't mean that they are, good in who they are, good in what they do, or that they possess any qualities which make them praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz and Al-Hamid. He is the Lord of honor, and He is also praiseworthy. And then we see that the name of Allah Al-Aziz is also paired with Ar-Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ, rely upon the one who is mighty and merciful. Subhanallah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful. He prevails. He is not to be overcome. But at the same time, He is also very, very merciful towards His servants. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty, then what is it that we should do? First of all, we should remember that we are the slaves, the servants, the worshippers of Al-Aziz. Realize who your Lord is, the one who is most powerful, the one who is honorable, the one who cannot be defeated, the one who prevails and overcomes. So when you realize that this is your Lord whom you worship, then be confident, be brave, be strong. Yes, things get really difficult at times, but realize that the challenge you face is nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difficulty that you have before you is nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the help of Al-Aziz, with the strength that Al-Aziz gives you, inshallah, you'll be able to deal with it. So realize whose servant you are and whose help you are seeking. And this realization will bring about strength and courage and confidence in you. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, that means that we should realize that all dignity and honor is with Allah. Meaning, if we want to be honorable, then we have to seek it from Allah. We have to seek that honor and dignity from Allah, meaning by worshiping Allah, not by turning away from Him and not by disobeying Him. You see, sometimes in order to, you know, look good in the eyes of people, or in order to, you know, in order to become famous, a lot of times people will do things that are in clear disobedience to Allah. In order to be accepted by people, and in order to be, you know, famous or worthy in the eyes of people, sometimes we bring ourselves down. How? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is absolutely, it's not helpful at all. This strategy is never going to work, because dignity comes from Allah. He is the source of dignity and honor. So if we want dignity and honor, then we have to first and foremost be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we're taught that man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. That whoever desires honor, whoever wants honor, then they should realize that all honor belongs to Allah. Meaning you cannot have it unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. And then we see that yes, there are people who are clearly disobeying Allah, and yet they are, you know, treated with a lot of honor and respect in the world. They attain, you know, a lot of greatness in the world. But remember that izzah is just temporary. It's not permanent. Permanent izzah is in being a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want honor not just in this world. We want it forever, in the hereafter also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of honor. So we should remain true to Him and obedient to Him. And then this also means that we should seek honor in the right way. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ. He describes His book that the Quran is an honorable book. Meaning if we want honor, then we better get attached to the book of Allah, because it is also a source of honor. And then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, this means that we should be humble before Allah and also before the servants of Allah. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty and all honor is with Him, then we should not think highly of ourselves. Why? Because no matter how high we become, who is still higher than us? No matter how important we become, and no matter what, you know, titles we get, and no matter what we put on our resumes, what pieces of paper we have, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all honorable. So no matter what we achieve or we don't achieve, we should be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also before people, meaning before the creation of Allah. So for example, we learn in a hadith that when a servant shows pardon, meaning when a person forgives others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases that person in honor and dignity. So the way to honor and dignity is not by bragging or by exerting your power over others. No, it is through the way of humility. And that is what we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz, the truly honorable one, the powerful, mighty one, the one who is undefeatable and the one who conquers and prevails. The next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will look at is the name of Allah Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar, a beautiful name. Every name of Allah is beautiful. And this name, subhanAllah, it is mentioned in the Quran, and we see that it is mentioned once in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a lot of his names, that هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار. Al-Jabbar, the compeller. This is who Allah the Exalted is. So, what is the meaning of the word Jabbar? We see that the word Jabbar is from Jabr. Okay? And Jabr basically means two things. Okay? The first meaning of the word Jabr is to set a bone, meaning when a bone is broken, then you put it on a Jabira. Jabira, splint. Okay? Meaning you take pieces of wood together. This is what the people would do back in the day. And they would arrange those pieces of wood around the bone so that the bone would stay in place and eventually heal. So Jabira is splints. So Jabr is to fix a bone, basically, to restore it from a fractured state. Okay. Now, if you think about it, in order to do that, a person has to go through a lot of discomfort. Right? Your bone is just, your arm is just fixed in one place, in one position. You cannot stretch it. You cannot, move it around. So it's almost like you are confined and you're being compelled to stay in one place, right? So the second meaning of the word jabara, from this root, we get the word jabara, which is to compel or to restrain or to constrain another, okay? Meaning against someone's will. So two meanings of the word jabr. First, to restore, to fix what is broken. And then secondly, to compel or to force someone against their will. Now, when we go back to the first meaning, to set a bone, it doesn't just mean to restore a broken bone. It also means, for example, when a person has become poor, they're suffering financially, then someone helps them so that they're out of poverty, right? So someone helped them, and now the situation of this person has been restored. They have been given wealth, or they have been given, a skill, a means through which they can earn an income. So they're no longer dependent. They're no longer poor. Rather, they have become self-sufficient, right? So Jabr then is not just to fix something broken, but it is also to restore or to improve someone's condition, meaning to fulfill their need. So for example, it is said, Jabarahu Allah, meaning may God make him strong and may God restore him. Meaning may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix whatever is wrong with him. Okay. And then when we go to the second meaning of Jabara, which is to compel or to restrain someone, to constrain someone, meaning against their will, this is only possible by someone who is powerful and strong. Meaning if someone is weak, they cannot compel another to do something against their will, right? It is only someone who is powerful, who is strong, who is mighty, who is able to force someone else. So we see that Jabara, in this meaning, it's used for plants. So for example, tajburun nabat. Nabat as in plants, when they begin climbing. Okay, we see that there's different types of plants. So climbers, this word is used to describe them. Or jabbar is also used for a palm tree when it becomes really tall. So tall that you cannot reach the branches by hand. Okay. You have to, you know, use a ladder or something. You have to climb up the tree in order to reach the branches. So basically it is so tall that you cannot reach it. Okay. So this is the meaning of the word jabbar. Now, when it comes to people, we see that in the Quran, the word jabbar does come quite a few times, but for people, it comes only once in the Quran as the name of Allah. And whenever the word jabbar is used for people, it is used in a negative sense. Why? Because when people become jabbar, it means that they're becoming merciless, you know, tyrannical, forceful, or that they are deluded by their power, or that they're so hard-hearted that they don't get affected by any good advice, or that they have no compassion. So, for example, we learn, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. Right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made me a wretched tyrant. We learn, وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. When you attack people, you do so as tyrants. The Bani Israel said, إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ. There are people in Jerusalem who are of tyrannical strength. So for people, this description is really not praiseworthy, because what befits us is humility, cooperation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, and this is praise for him. This is excellent for him. Why? Because first of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, it means that he is above his servants. He is high above his servants, meaning he is unattainable. He is supreme. So they can never attain his greatness, and they can never harm him. And this is, praise and perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to people, if people start acting this way, because first of all, people can never truly be jabbar, right? Because no matter how powerful someone becomes, we see that sooner or later, they're defeated by someone else. And if it's not another human being, we see that the angel of death comes, right? So people, if they think that they are unattainable, then this is foolishness. And this is arrogance and pride, which doesn't really befit human beings. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, first of all, this means that he is high above his servants. They can never attain his greatness, and they can never ever harm him. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, it means that he mends and restores the broken affairs of his servants. Imam al-Tabari explained this meaning. He said al-jabbar means al-muslih, meaning the one who restores and corrects the affairs of his creation, meaning he fixes their condition so that basically he sets their affairs right. And we experience this in our lives. You know, we fall ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us health. We make mistakes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, the way out of our problems. We experience heartbreaks, right? And over time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, which shows that, first of all, we will break, right? And that we are not perfect. And our situation is not always perfect. And every now and then we do face trials. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, right? This life is meant to be for what? It's meant to be as a test, which means that there will be hardship. There will be loss, right? There will be some sort of pain, some sort of difficulty. So in that state of brokenness and incompleteness, who is it that we are in need of? We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are in need of money, he is the one who provides us. When we are in need, he is the one who fulfills our needs. When we are in hardship, he consoles our hearts. When we make mistakes, he pardons our sins, and he hides our mistakes. So this is the meaning of al-jabbar. And then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, it means that he prevails over his servants, meaning he is able to compel his servants to do whatever that he wants. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees are of two kinds, irada kawniya and irada shar'iyya, meaning he intends or he commands that something should happen in the world, in the universe. And then there are those commands which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as religious commands that we have to observe, we have to follow. So He can command whatever He wants, and when it comes to irada kawniya, there is no resisting it whatsoever. Meaning His will certainly prevail. His decision will certainly prevail. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that a person should become sick, or that a person should lose something, or that a person should move away from something, there's no avoiding that decree. His decision prevails, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Jabbar. Whether we like it or we don't, whether we want it or we don't, whether we are ready for it or we're not, whether we find it easy or we find it hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Jabbar, and his decision prevails. He prevails over His servants. So what is it that we should do then? What's our share? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Jabbar, what should we do? First of all, it means that we should be humble, because this might and power befits only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people behave as jabbareen, then this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. He does not approve of. We learn in the Quran, وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ, that every obstinate, stubborn person who was jabbar, meaning who was tyrannical, oppressive, arrogant, failed and suffered. Meaning such a person will only be defeated. So when a person becomes arrogant, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like jabbar people. So we should be humble. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jabbar, it means that we should ask Him to mend us, right? To mend our brokenness, to restore, to improve our condition. And look at yourself, take a look at your life and reflect over what is messed up in your life, basically. Where is it that you're struggling? Is it in your akhlaq? Is it in terms of your patience? Is it in terms of how you speak to people? Is it in terms of, you know, your commitments? Is it in terms of your studies? Is it in terms of your, you know, relationships? Is it in terms of your health? Is it in terms of your wealth, your career, your source of income? Whatever problem you feel exists in your life, wherever you feel that you are broken, you need improvement, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Jabbar, is able to fix your brokenness. So what is our responsibility? That we turn to Him. We ask Him that, Ya Allah, You are al-Jabbar, right? So mend my condition. You know, just as a bone is broken and over time, subhanAllah, it heals. And when you look at a, if you've ever seen an x-ray, and you look at a broken bone, you wonder, how is this ever going to be fixed? You know, because, for example, when a glass breaks, there is no way that you can fix it, right? But when a bone breaks, it's amazing. You can fix it, right? It heals over time. So just like that, whatever is, you know, broken in your life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to mend that. So ask Him. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Jabbar, it means that we should surrender to Him and we should submit to Him, because His decision will prevail. There is no fighting, no resisting. You know, even if we get upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision, so what? Is that going to change anything? If we get angry, is that going to change anything? No. So our success and our salvation is in what? It is in Raditu Rabbi. Oh my Rabb, I am pleased. I am happy with whatever that You have decided. And as we will learn later on, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Khabir, meaning He is wise, He knows, He's fully aware, He knows what you're going through. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides something, that decision is not random. It is with His wisdom. It is with some benefit. So our success lies in surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in saying Raditu Rabbi. Anytime you feel weak before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision, that you know you're trying to help yourself, you're trying to fix your situation, you have done whatever that was within your ability, and still you're not able to solve your problem, just say, رَضِيتُ رَبِّي. My Lord, I am pleased with whatever that you have decided. Now I rely on you because you are Al-Jabbar. Only you are able to fix my condition. When it comes to the name of Allah, Al-Jabbar, we see that we should also use this name in our du'as. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his ruku', he would say, Subhana dhil jabarut wal malakut wal kibriya'i wal azama. You see, jabarut, that jabarut is from jabar, same root. That glory be to the one who has jabarut, meaning who is the owner of all jabarut. Jabarut meaning all power. Wal malakut, all sovereignty. Wal kibriya, all greatness. Wal azama, all might. So glory be to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one night he was actually praying Qiyamul Layl, and one of the companions was with him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recited long Qiyam, and then he also made long Rukur. And that companion said that it was as if, he spent as much time in Rukur as you would take to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Subhanallah. Yani, such a long rukur, and what was he saying in his rukur? This, Subhana dhil jabarut wal malakut wal kibriya'i wal azama. So you literally lower yourself, right? You bring yourself down before Al-Jabbar, the one who is high. And in that state of, lowliness, you declare the greatness and the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you are weak before Him. The fact that you have surrendered before Him. Why? Because He is truly great, and we are in need of Him, Azza wa Jal. And then there is also a dua which has, the narration has some weakness to it. But when it comes to du'as, remember that as long as the wording is correct, even if there's weakness in the narration, there's, inshallah, nothing wrong with it. As long as you don't say it with the intention that I'm saying it because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught it. And this du'a is, Allahumma ghfir li warhamni wajburni warfa'ni wahdini wa'afini warzuqni. And the meaning of this dua is, Allahumma ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me, warhamni, have mercy on me, wajburni, and mend me, fix my brokenness, warfa'ni, and raise me, wahdini, guide me, wa'afini, grant me well-being, warzuqni, and provide me. So this is also a beautiful dua, meaning that the meaning is certainly beautiful, and there's absolutely no harm in making this dua. And even if you cannot recall the entire dua, just say, wajburni. That, oh Allah, mend me, mend my brokenness. Next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's two names that inshallah we will look at together. And these names are Al-Kabir and Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Kabir and Al-Mutakabbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. In Surah Al-Hashr, where so many names are mentioned, after the name Al-Jabbar is the name Al-Mutakabbir, the superior. And then we see the name of Allah, Al-Kabir, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. The fact is that Allah is the Most High, the Grand. So the name of Allah, Al-Kabir, occurs 6 times in the Quran, and the name Al-Mutakabbir occurs once in the Quran. In a hadith, we learned that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that I am Jabbar, I am Mutakabbir, I am Malik, where are the kings of the earth? So this is a name that is definitely mentioned in hadith. Now, what is kibr? Kibr, remember, it's the opposite of smallness. So basically, kibr is greatness. And greatness, of course, can be in different ways. It can be in size, it can be in status, it can be in terms of power, it can be, in terms of dignity, or the way that you perceive things. Like, for example, the women, when they saw Yusuf alayhi salam, akbarnahu, they thought very highly of him, meaning they really viewed his beauty to be truly great. So this is the meaning of kibr, greatness. And then takabbur, okay, the name Mutakabbir is from takabbur. Takabbur is to magnify oneself. meaning to reveal or to show oneself as great. Now, this could be in two ways, okay? One, it could be that someone is truly great, okay? And so they reveal their greatness. And this is something that befits only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So only Allah is al-mutakabbir, because He's truly great and He has every right to, to magnify Himself and to reveal His greatness because He's truly great. The second type of takabbur is to assume greatness, to find greatness. Basically, when a person falsely believes that they are great, or that they begin bragging about things that are not in them, right? So basically, not real qualities, but imaginary qualities. And this is what people do. So for example, when a person thinks that I am better than so-and-so, right? This is called takabbur, arrogance. So for example, we learn about Iblis, right? That Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that مَا لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. It doesn't befit you that you magnify yourself over here. And how is it that Iblis magnified himself or showed his greatness when he said that I am better than Adam? So he thought in himself that he was better than Adam. Why did he think that he was better than Adam? Because he said that I am made from fire and Adam is made from clay. I was here before him and I have been doing this and this and this good thing, right? And Adam just came. So I am better, right? I am older. I am better. I have done more. So, and my source is better. My appearance is better. So I am better. Now, does this behavior befit a creation? No. Because if you think about it, if you have any greatness, are you really the source of that greatness? No, you're not. If it's your age that you're very proud of, if it's your skills that you're very proud of, if it's your name or your knowledge or your money or whatever it is that you're very proud of, where did you get that from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave it to you. In fact, you would not exist unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. So we don't have the right to think highly of ourselves. And the fact is that even if we think that we are great, is there someone who is greater than us? Always. Within the creation, we will always find someone who is better and greater than us. So for example, if a person is, walking really arrogantly that, I am so tall, well, guess what? The tree is taller than you. The building is taller than you. And there's that person who is taller than you. If you're really proud about your physical appearance or the way that you have adorned yourself, while that may be very impressive, but guess what? There's someone else who perhaps looks much more beautiful than you. And there are people who did not even notice your beauty, but they noticed the beauty of others, right? So arrogance is something that does not befit us, which is why takabbur for people means arrogance, but takabbur for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means superiority, because He's truly superior and He's truly great. So pride and arrogance doesn't befit us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is truly great. So al-kabir means the ever great, and al-mutakabbir, the truly great or the superior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir, al-mutakabbir, meaning that He is the greatest and there is nothing greater than Him. He is the greatest and there is nothing at all that is greater than Him, meaning everything is below Him, beneath Him. And this means that He is truly great in His being, in His attributes, in His names, in His actions. So He is the greatest and He is greater than anyone. So everything and everyone is beneath Him, below Him. So no matter what height and what status and what power someone attains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still greater. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir, al-mutakabbir. What does that mean? It means that He is great above any limitation. He is great. He is above any evil, any harm, any suffering, or any wrongdoing. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir, al-mutakabbir, it also means that He is great. So He deals with the arrogant with His greatness and might, meaning He brings them down. He lowers them because He does not like arrogance in people. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir, al-mutakabbir, what does that mean? It means that first of all, we should be humble, right? And we should not ever think that worshipping Allah is, you know, is beneath us. Astaghfirullah. We learned that Isa alayhi salam, لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحِ, that Isa alayhi salam would never disdain worship, meaning he would never look down on worship, that, it doesn't befit me that I should make sajda. It's embarrassing that I worship Allah. No, it is not embarrassing. This is a source of honor for us. And this kind of humility is something that we should exhibit, and we must exhibit no matter where we are. This is why when it comes to salah, it is something that we have to do no matter where we are. When the time comes in, we have to pray. Even if you're sitting in an airplane and you start praying and people start staring at you, wondering what's wrong with you, you know what? They can think whatever, but this is my time to show humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because humility is what befits me. So we should be humble. And if a person, refuses to obey Allah, that, for example, a person finds out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, but still they say, no, there's no way I could do this. Absolutely not. This is a way of competing with Allah in greatness. Because this is a way of saying that, you know what, I am greater, I am better, and I don't accept your greatness. So we learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that grandeur is my cloak and greatness is my robe. Whoever seeks to rival me in either, I shall consign him to the fire. Meaning if a person, tries to take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness away by competing, by saying that I am great, I am better, I know better, or I will not obey, then this is a way of fighting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. And if a person were to do that, how could they ever be successful? Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir, al-mutakabbir, this means that we should not be deluded by the greatness of people, right? That when we see that someone is great, realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir, al-mutakabbir, this means that we should glorify Him. We should not be singing our praises that I am this and I am that and I have done this and I have done that. No, we should be singing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We learned that no one will enter paradise whose heart contains an atom's weight of arrogance. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove pride from our hearts. Now, what are the ways in which we can pray, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these names? We see that first of all, when the adhan is made and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness is mentioned, that Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what should we do at that time? We should respond to the words of the adhan by saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that yes, Allah is truly great. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. And then also respond with action. Not that we hear the adhan, we hear the iqama, and then we're just sitting. No, respond with action. Go and pray. Show that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater, more important than whatever else that you were doing, right? So you will leave what you're doing and go bring yourself down, you humble yourself, lower yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, when it comes to, making dhikr of Allah, we have been taught the beautiful dhikr of saying Allahu Akbar, right? Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that saying these words is more beautiful to me than anything on which the sun rises. Allahu Akbar. And imagine anything of this world, no matter how precious it is, how expensive it is, how famous it is, whatever it may be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that saying these words of dhikr is more beloved to me than anything on which the sun rises. Which words? Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. And then earlier we learned about Subhana dhil jabarut wal malakut wal kibriya. Kibriya is from the same root. Kibriya, greatness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of all greatness. And this is something that we should say in our ruku' and sujood. Then the next is the names of Allah, Al-Hakam and Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, Al-Hakam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. That indeed it is you, meaning, O Allah, you are the one who is the knowing, the wise, Al-Hakim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَكَمُ. That indeed Allah, He is Al-Hakam, meaning the judge. وَإِلَيْهِ الْحُكُمُ. And judgment is His. So the name of Allah Al-Hakam appears in the Sunnah, and the name of Allah Al-Hakim appears many times in the Quran. In fact, we learned that it occurs 93 times in the Quran, and Al-Hakam occurs once in the Sunnah. And there is also the name Hakim. Hakim appears 6 times in the Quran. Now, what does this word mean? If you look at these names, Hakam, Hakim, Hakim, we have the word Hukum. Right? Hukum is the main word. What does that mean? Basically, hakama, okay, hakama, is to curb or restrain a horse. How? That, for example, if you're sitting on a horse and the bridle is in your hand and the horse is trying to, you know, move forward. So what do? You curb the horse, you restrain the horse by pulling the bridle. Right, by pulling the reins in order to stop the horse. So this is the meaning of the word hakama, okay? And hakama, for example, is used for restraining a person from doing something, okay? So for example, tying them up or restraining them so that they cannot go away, they cannot escape, and they're sort of forced to do it. So this is why the word hukum is used for judgment. That, for example, when the law, you know, when a judge, for example, gives an order, then that's it. It's going to be carried out, right? If the judge says that you have to pay a certain amount of money as a fine, then that's it. You have to pay it. If the judge says that so-and-so is going to go to jail, then khalas, they're going, right? So hukum is to exercise it is to exercise authority, okay? Now, from the same root is also the word hikmah, and hikmah generally is understood as wisdom. Why is it called wisdom? Because when a person is wise, then their wisdom prevents them, restrains them from ignorant behavior, right? Like, for example, a child does not always know what to say, what not to say. Does not always know, like, for example, you go to someone's house and you know, your child, for example, starts crawling up the stairs. So you stop the child that, no, we're not at home. You cannot go up the stairs. This is not a playground. This is somebody's house. But the child doesn't get it. Every time you stop the child will keep going, right? But if it's an older person, and you expect them that they're not just going to randomly go around taking a tour of somebody's house, right? Because their wisdom, their intellect is going to restrain them from ignorant behavior, right? But hikmah, wisdom, you see, it also prevents a person from showing bad behavior. Like, for example, if a person gets angry, then their wisdom will prevent them from lashing out. If a person is, hurt, sad, then their wisdom will prevent them from just sobbing uncontrollably before people and screaming and wailing and, you know, beating themselves up, etc. A wise person, wisdom, makes a person behave properly, right? And this is why it is said that hikmah is to put something where it belongs, meaning to do something in the right way, at the right time, in the right place. And hikmah is also about making decisions, right? Making the right decisions. So hikmah, hukum, same root. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim and Al-Hakam, what does that mean? It means that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, meaning He is the sovereign judge, meaning He is the one who judges. Al-Hakam, meaning He is the judge, He decides, and judgment is basically His, meaning He has the power to decide whatever that He wants, and His decision prevails. And all matters will ultimately return to Him for judgment, right? When, on the day of judgment, when He will decide between His servants and He will give each servant what that servant deserves. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, it means that His judgment is the best. Which is why we learn in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ, that who could be better than Allah in judgment for a people who believe with certainty, right? So His judgment is free of any imperfection, any error. We see that when we make decisions, our decisions are not always perfect. So often it happens that we decide something and literally 5 minutes later we say, oh, that was a bad decision. That was a bad call. We say something and we regret it instantly, right? We do something and we regret it instantly. We buy something, subhanAllah, and we bring it home and we're like, bad decision. I don't know what I was thinking, right? So our decision, our judgment is not perfect. It is not free of error. It has gaps in it. You know, sometimes people in an organization at the top, they make certain decisions and they completely forget about certain realities within their organization. There's gaps, right? There's imperfection. We learn in the Quran, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that whatever matter you differ in amongst yourselves, then its judgment is with Allah. Meaning, take that final judgment from Allah. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided regarding that matter. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakam, al-hakim, al-hakim also means dhul-hikmah, right? It means the one whose judgment, the one who makes judgment, whose judgment prevails, but it also means the one who is wise, meaning he is wise in his actions, in his words, in his decrees. So he puts things where they belong as per his judgment and his justice. So remember that, for example, when a person is wise, it means that they're not doing things foolishly, right? Meaning they're not making mistakes. They're doing things very deliberately, right? What they're doing is not random. It is not haphazard. There is no accidents. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, it means that His decrees are perfect. So everything that He decides, first of all, there is some wisdom, there is some reason behind that. When it comes to our creation, this is not useless. And when it comes to anything that happens in our lives, big or small, then remember again, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in that. So we learn in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, did you think that we created you in vain, uselessly, just for play, and that you're not going to return to us? فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted above that. He is the true king. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ذُو الْحِكْمَة, meaning His decisions are with His wisdom. Whatever He decides is not free of, is not void of wisdom. There is a reason, purpose behind that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakam, al-hakim, what does that mean for us? What are we supposed to do? First of all, we should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment is the best. Whether it is His judgment regarding something religious, like a command that Allah has given, for example, He has commanded us that we pray 5 times a day, then this judgment is the best. You might feel that it's too much, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment is the best. And in order to realize how it is best, you first have to surrender and accept, because realization comes only after acceptance. So accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions, whether they are religious or they are in your personal life or they are in the world or with anything, you know, in the creation. Okay, accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgments, His decisions, and believe that they are the best. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions are with His knowledge, with His wisdom. So He says in the Quran, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, is Allah not the best of all judges? Meaning, is His judgment not the best? Is His judgment not perfect? Absolutely it is. You know, this is why some of the Salaf, one of the Salaf said, meaning a righteous scholar of the past said, that I would rather have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge for me than my own mother, than my own parents. Why? Because I know that my parents, especially my mother, is very kind to me, loves me, but my mother is a human being. and she cannot be 100% just and fair. And whatever that she decides for me, whatever that she wants for me, right, in her love, she could actually harm me. And doesn't that happen at times? I remember somebody once told me that, you know, when they had their baby, they were living in a different country. Nobody from their family was around. And, you know, she had her baby and she would literally hold her baby all the time, meaning she would not let the baby have any, tummy time, what they call, basically putting a baby on his tummy so that, he has balance in his head, etc. She would not make her child sit down. She would just carry him nonstop all the time. SubhanAllah. So in her love, she was doing that. But as a result of that extra love, what was happening is that the child was not developing certain skills that he should have already developed. So the thing is that people, with all of their love and all of their compassion and all of their well-wishing and all of their knowledge and all of their fears, they're imperfect. Their decisions are imperfect. This is why, when it comes to the decisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes for us, realize that they are the best. And remind yourself, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way. You see, when you're looking ahead, okay, when you're looking ahead, meaning as you see things happening in your life, not everything makes sense, right? Certain things are very difficult. Other things are very painful. Other things you're just shocked and surprised at what is going on and why is this happening? And how come, you know, what I did not work? How come, this came my way? As you're looking ahead in front of yourself, things are not always going to make sense. But in hindsight, they will always make sense. And when you look back at your life, you will really say, I wouldn't have it any other way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was perfect. But that can only be if you accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions, you surrender before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you exhibit beautiful patience, sabrun jameel, and you say, Raditu Rabbi, oh my Lord, I am pleased. And you exhibit taqwa, meaning the fear of Allah. So you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do in that situation with sabr, with taqwa, with ihsan. As you move from one thing to another in your life, even though things are very painful, when you look back, you'll be like, I wouldn't have it any other way. This was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions, how are they? They are perfect. So what does that mean for us? It means that we accept his decisions and we're pleased with them. And then we should also be patient, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, that means that we should be patient. We learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصْبِرُوا حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَنَا. One of the prophets of Allah said to his people that you should be patient until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges between us. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And he is the best of all judges, meaning his decision, his judgment is the best. So sometimes, you know, we are expecting something that, you know, I have done whatever I was supposed to do, and now this is the result that I expect. But the results that come forward are not what you expected at all. You know, for example, someone is trying to get married. They try different things. Nothing works. SubhanAllah. What does that mean? You don't question, oh Allah, how come? Okay. You don't object that, oh Allah, why? No, you have to be patient until the decision is in your favor. And it will be in your favor sooner or later. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is your Lord. He has given you so much without even you asking Him. He cares for you more than you care about Himself, more than you care about yourself. He is Ar-Rahman, whose mercy is beyond your imagination. So then what do you think? He's going to decide something that's meant to destroy you? That's meant to cripple you? No. Whatever He decides for you, as long as you're a believer and you expect the best from Him, remember, the final outcome will always, always be in your favor. So accept His decision and be pleased with it. And also remember that wisdom belongs to Allah. because he is al-hakim. So when we want wisdom, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That he gives wisdom to whomsoever he wills, and whoever is given wisdom is given a lot of good. And also remember that his book is Hakim, right? It is full of wisdom. It is perfect. And it is a source of firmness and strength. So hold on to his book. Then we will look at, so Al-Hakim, meaning the sovereign judge and also the ever-wise. So we learned that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his tahajjud prayer, meaning when he would get up in the night in order to pray, in dua istiftah, basically, after saying Allahu Akbar, meaning when you begin the salah and you say Allahu Akbar, you put your hands on your chest, this is what he would recite. Allahumma rabba jibreela wa mikaila wa israfil fatir as-samawati wal-ard alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. Allahumma ahdini lima akhtulifa fihi min al-haq innaka tahdi man tasha'u ila sirati mustaqim. Meaning, O Allah, Lord of Jibreel, Mikail, Israfil, creator of the heavens and the earth, knower of the unseen and the seen, you will judge between your slaves concerning that wherein they differ. Meaning people have differences. And really, if you have differences with people, especially if you're having an argument, you know, sometimes certain arguments or certain debates, they get prolonged, right? It could be with your family as well. You say one thing, they say something else. It could be with your coworkers, and then, you know, decisions are pending. So you're confused, you're unsure. And sometimes you're in a position where you have to make, you know, very critical decisions. And you're afraid to make those decisions because you recognize how incompetent you are, how imperfect your knowledge is, right? You are afraid that what if I make a wrong decision? So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-hakim to help you, right? And use this dua, أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. And then, O Allah, guide me to the disputed matters of truth, meaning where there is dispute among people. One person says this, another person says the exact opposite. I don't know what to do. You guide me to the truth, for you are the one who guides to the straight path. So this was the name of Allah, Al-Hakim, as well as his name, Al-Hakam. Now let's look at the name, As-Samir. We learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he said, Rabbana taqabbal minna, both Ibrahim and Ismail. When they built the Kaaba, they said, Our Lord, accept this from us. Innaka anta as-sami' al-alim. Indeed, you are the hearing, the knowing. They made du'as and they said, you are the hearing, the knowing. The name of Allah as-sami' occurs 45 times in the Quran. And it means the ever-hearing. Now, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that there are four meanings of the word samr. Okay, samr has four meanings. The first meaning is to perceive sound. Okay, to perceive sound, meaning when someone says something, you hear it. The second meaning is to comprehend or to understand the meaning of what was said. So for example, if someone is speaking in a foreign language, while you can perceive the sounds, you have no idea about what they're saying, right? So you don't know it. But samr is to know what has been said, to understand what has been said. Then thirdly, samr also means to accept or to pay regard to what was said. Because sometimes certain things are said in our presence, but we don't believe it, right? We don't pay attention to it. We don't really care about it. And then finally, samr also means to respond or to answer, okay? Like for example, if you ask someone to bring you water and they don't bring it, you say, didn't you hear me? Are you going to listen to me? Right. So listening also means that you respond, you answer. And this is why in salah we say when we get up from rukur, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, that Allah has heard the one who has praised him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer him. Okay. So these are four meanings of the word samr. Okay. Meaning different ways or different levels of listening. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samir, what does that mean? Remember that first of all, as-samir means not just samir, one who hears, but as-samir, the ever-hearing, the one whose hearing is perfect, Okay, the one who hears all. So the first meaning of as-Samir is that he is the one who hears all, meaning he hears all sounds. The audible, right, meaning what you can hear, meaning, for example, if a person talks in a way that their voice can be heard, and also the whispers. Because sometimes, you know, we whisper ever so softly, ever so quietly, that even a person who is sitting, you know, 6 feet away from us is not able to hear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all sounds, whether they are loud or they are low. Whether someone speaks openly or quietly, or even remains silent, because there are those things that we say with our mouths, but then there is also those things that we say in our heads, right? There's that inner conversation that's always happening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it all. You know, sometimes we're constantly judging ourselves. We say something like, oh, that was so foolish. We do something, oh, that was so wrong, right? We constantly condemn ourselves, right? This is also heard by Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all sounds, whether they are zahira or batina, khafiyya or jaliyya, yani every kind of sound. So we learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهْرَ بِهِ. It is all the same among you, meaning it's the same before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether someone speaks quietly, privately, or loudly, openly. Meaning it doesn't matter how you say it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard it. And really, if you think about it, people speak in so many different ways, so many different languages, so many different styles, right? Different vocabulary. Some people, and at the same time, you know, if you go to a busy place, you can hear so much noise. What's that noise coming from? People talking. And every single sound, every single word is being heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If two people are talking to you at the same time, right, you get so confused. You tell people that, you know, one by one, please, one person at a time, because it's confusing. So many people are talking, right, and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears every single one of them. Their voices do not get, you know, muddled up or confusing for him. No, he and listening to one does not occupy him, does not distract him from listening to another. You know, sometimes you talk to someone and after a few days, when there is no response, it's like, oh, it's as if they never heard me, right? You feel completely forgotten. But when you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you say something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard you and he hasn't forgotten you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-Samir, meaning he hears all. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-Samir, it means that he knows all. Because remember, Samr also means to comprehend and to know. So no matter what way we speak in, right, what language we use, what vocabulary we use, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what we have said. You know, sometimes we mean to say one thing, but people understand it completely differently because they don't understand our style, right? Or they don't know our intention, or perhaps they did not comprehend our words. So they misunderstand or they don't get it. They don't understand at all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all and he knows all. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-Samir, it means that he responds to his servants when they call upon him. We see that even when a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha, right? You say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah has heard that. But you know what? Allah answers. He says, Hamidani Abdi. My servant has praised me. When you say in Surah Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard it, but he also responds to you. He says that وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ, that my servant will have what he has asked for. Allahu Akbar. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, he knows, he understands, and he responds. You see, sometimes you're trying to talk to someone and you feel like they're not hearing you. Why? Because they're just looking at their phone. They keep saying, but they're actually not listening to you. So when you become silent, right, or when you start saying random things, it's as if they didn't hear anything, right? And then sometimes what happens is that you're talking to people, they're looking at you, but they're like, I'm sorry, I don't understand you, right? Or you keep telling them that you don't get it. You don't feel understood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only hears us, He also understands us. He knows us. And then sometimes what happens is that we make our request clear to people. People know exactly what we want. They understand our situation. But you know what? They say, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. Or I'm actually not going to help you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Samir, He also responds. This is why we learn in the Quran that Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Inna Rabbi la Samir al-Dua. Indeed, my Lord surely hears the dua. In Surah Al-Rahman, we learn, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Everyone in the skies and the earth calls upon him, asks him, and every day he's bringing about a new matter. In Surah Luqman, we learn, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Your creation and your resurrection is not except like the creation and resurrection of one soul. Indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing. Meaning his knowledge is perfect. Which is why when we look at the names of Allah, when we look at the name of Allah, As-Samir in the Quran, it is paired with the name Al-Alim. Meaning very often it comes in the Quran with the name Al-Alim. For example, Wallahu huwa As-Samir Al-Alim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is truly the ever-hearing, the ever-knowing. Why? Because if you think about it, hearing without knowledge is not perfection. Right? And knowledge without hearing is also incomplete. Because even though Samir can mean he knows all, the difference is that knowledge, that he hears your call, right? And he knows your condition. He has heard you, so he knows exactly what your condition is. And then we see that the name of Allah, As-Samir, is also paired with Al-Basir, that He hears and He sees, which again indicates the perfection of His knowledge. And it is also paired with Qareeb, إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ, that indeed he hears and He is near. He's closer to you than you are to yourself. He's closer to you than your own jugular vein. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Samir, what does that mean? It means that first of all, we should affirm and believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, He listens. Now we don't go on saying that this is how He hears, or that He hears, He listens just like so-and-so, like the creation, because that is not correct. In the Quran, we learn, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And He is the hearing, the seeing. So remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hearing, His summer, is not like the summer of the creation. Okay? His listening is perfect. Right? So this means that we should always feel heard. You see, one of the worst feelings is that when you are talking, when you are expressing yourself, when you are trying to communicate your concerns, but people don't acknowledge. So you feel unheard. You feel ignored. And this is a very painful feeling. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Samir, it means that we should feel heard, right? That Allah has heard me. And sometimes really we talk to people and we don't get any response, right? Or the response is very, you know, blah, like they don't care at all. Or they basically say, yeah, I know, but I'm sorry. Right? I cannot help you. So basically, you spent that 45 minutes talking to them, but it really made no difference. But when you talk to Allah and Allah hears you, then you have been heard. And you know what? Even if things are not to your liking, meaning that they don't turn out to be exactly how you want them to be, you're still rewarded for talking to Allah. So your effort of talking to Allah never goes waste at all, ever. We learn in a beautiful hadith. Remember the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the statement of the woman who was arguing with you, a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And she was complaining to Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. Allah was listening to your conversation. Aisha radiallahu anha said that, Alhamdulillah, yani all praises to Allah whose hearing encompasses all sounds. That lady came And she was talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was in the same house, just on one side, and I did not hear what that woman said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard her from above the seven heavens, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all, you know, all of his servants. So always feel heard, that you know what, when I have expressed myself, I have been heard. Allah has heard me. This is why Yaqub alayhi salam, what did he say? Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. He wasn't, you know, making his grief be heard by people, that, you know what, I'm talking about my grief, so oh people, you listen to me. No, he said, innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's described as la'awwahun halim, right? Meaning he was very tender-hearted. And you know, he was very, very concerned. And he would always talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samir, it means that we should be cautious of the fact that he hears us. That while, you know, this really is very encouraging, but at the same time, it should also make us very careful that what am I saying and how am I saying it? We should be shy of Allah. We learn the Quran, وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. That if you are loud in speech, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is secret and what is even more hidden. Meaning, if you say something out loud, Allah knows about it, Allah heard it. But guess what? Even if you say it softly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still hears it. And if you don't say it with your mouth, you don't verbalize it, you're talking in your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard that as well. He knows that as well. So even in a private setting, you know, sometimes when we're amongst our friends or in our family members, you know, in our comfort zone, sometimes we start talking in a way that is inappropriate, or talking about things that are inappropriate, or using words that are inappropriate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they think that we don't listen to their secrets, you know, their secret conversations, their private conversations, when they whisper to each other? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samir, it means that we should not fear what people say, because sometimes the kind of things that people say are very hurtful, very frightening, they are very mean, or they say things which really bring us down. So don't be affected by what people say. Of course, that effect is going to be there. Absolutely going to be there, because words do have an impact on us. There's no denying that. However, you can counter that feeling by reminding yourself that, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard them. So when Musa alayhi salam was being sent to Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam was really scared. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ. Don't fear. إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. I am with you, I hear and I see. Meaning anything that Fir'aun says to you, anything that he threatens you with, I can hear that. I know that. I see it. And then we learned that, you know, there were people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who made fun of, you know, some verses of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard them. Right? So sometimes people say very rude things, very wrong things. So don't be afraid, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samir, it means that we should call upon him. We should talk to him, not just about him. And you know what? Continue to call upon him. Continue to talk to him, because he is ever hearing. And he will respond however that he wants. Like, for example, Yusuf alayhi salam, he was, in the house of Al-Aziz, and first there was one woman who was, you know, causing problems for him, and now there were so many women, and everybody knew about his innocence, yet they weren't doing anything to help him. And we learned that Yusuf alayhi salam made dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him. Right? Because he is Samir al-Alim. He is hearing. He is knowing. He has heard you. So keep talking to him. Keep calling upon him. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-Samir, it means that when we make dhikr, when we, you know, make dua, when we recite the Quran, we don't have to yell. Right? In fact, we don't even have to be very loud. Just loud enough to make our ears listen. Okay, and sometimes you know you can make dhikr in a way that it's barely audible. There is no sound even coming out of your mouth. We learn in the Quran about Zakariya alayhi salam that when he made du'a, idnada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya, he called out to his Lord, but it was a very private du'a, right? That no other person heard it. And then we learned that once the companions were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and every time that they would go up, you know, a dune, they would say Allahu Akbar out loud. And as they would go down, they would say Subhanallah out loud. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, oh people, be gentle with yourselves, because you're not calling upon the one who is deaf or absent. No, you're calling upon the one who is Sami'an Basira. He hears you. So you don't have to be so pretentious and, you know, exert so much effort. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Sami', it means that we should be responsive. Meaning, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to us, then let us also respond to Allah and also to people. Because remember that the recompense of a deed is always similar to the deed. So if you respond when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you, then when you will call upon Allah, Allah will also respond to you. If you also respond to people, not that people are constantly calling and you're like, right? Like, for example, you're in your room and your mom calls you, right? 3 times, 4 times, and finally fifth time, you're like, yeah. And she's like, come downstairs. Okay. And then another 10 minutes go by. And she's like, come downstairs. You're like, yeah, I'm coming. And then another 30 minutes go by. And then she, you know, comes upstairs storming, you know, getting upset. Be responsive, right? When you will respond to people, when you will respond to your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also respond to you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Sami', it means that we should make Him hear. What does that mean? Meaning when you do something good, then your goal should be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He hears my recitation. He hears my, you know, my good advice, right? Meaning be sincere. Your goal should not be, you know, to be heard by people. Because the one who wants to be, you know, spoken of by people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose this person on the Day of Judgment, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal his real intentions. So we should be sincere. And now when it comes to calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name, we see, of course, in the Quran, many du'as where this name is mentioned. So for example, the du'a of Ibrahim and Ismail, where they said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. We learned that the wife of Imran, she said, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. زكريا عليه السلام said, رَبِّي هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. So when you're making dua, then at the end of your dua, take this name, right? That, oh Allah, you are As-Sami', so hear my dua. You are As-Sami', so respond to my dua. You know what I need. You are As-Sami'. And then in the morning and the evening, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say this dua, Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, that in the name of Allah by whose name nothing in the earth or the heaven can harm, and He is the all hearing, all knowing, wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Then inshallah, very quickly we'll do the next name also, which is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Basir. Al-Basir, the ever-seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, and He is the hearing, the seeing. And the name of Allah, Al-Basir, occurs 42 times in the Quran, and the word basar means to perceive something with vision, meaning to see it. And it also means to know. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basir, it means that He is the ever-seeing, meaning He sees everything, both things that are apparent to us, visible to us, and also things that are not visible to us. Because we know that there are things that exist, but we cannot see with our eyes. But just because we cannot see with our eyes, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. They do exist, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is able to see even that which we are not able to see. And we are not able to see certain things either because they're too distant, or there's a barrier between us and those things, or they're too minuscule, right? Or they're too great for us to realize the full picture, right? Or they're such that our eyes are not able to perceive them. So whatever that exists, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, meaning there is nothing subtle or obvious, you know, quick or slow, momentary or long-lasting, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. Because you see, sometimes certain things happen before us, occur before us. It's just a flash, right? It's just a flash. Split second, it appears and it disappears, right? You see something moving, but by the time you look in that direction, it's gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it. And then al-basir also means that he is all aware. Because al-basir also means dhul basira bil ashya, meaning he is fully aware of all things. We see that the name of Allah al-basir is paired in the Quran with the name as-samir, meaning he is hearing and seeing, so he is perfect in his knowledge, in his awareness, and it's also paired with al-khabir, meaning the one who is perfectly aware. So if Allah is al-basir, what does that mean for us? It means that we should affirm and believe in his attribute of basar, the fact that he sees, and again, without striking any comparisons or describing how exactly, you know, of course, when the creation, when we see things, we see with our eyes, and we don't go on describing eyes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we don't do that because we don't know. And it's really foolish to speak without knowledge. So when Allah says that he is al-basir, we believe in that. But we don't need to go on describing how, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vision is not like the vision of the creation, because we are not able to perceive everything. We're not able to see everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. We learn in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the night to enter the day and the day to enter the night, and he is the hearing, the seeing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, it means that we should be mindful. Whatever we are doing, wherever we are, Allah is watching us, right? We're not hidden from him. So Allah says in the Quran, وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient as khabir and basir for the sins of his servants. Meaning when the servants commit sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen them. Even when we do something very quickly and very, secretly, we have not really hidden ourselves from Allah. Because Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. He knows the treachery of the eyes. Meaning that split second that you take to quickly look at something and look away before people catch you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what you looked at with your eyes. He saw you. And then the way that we are behaving with people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching that also. We learn, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. That we have made some of you a trial for others, meaning you will have conflict, you will have problems. And guess what? Allah is watching you, meaning how you're behaving. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, this means that we should remember this fact that Allah is watching me. And while, you know, this makes us afraid and shy, it should also encourage us to be more excellent in the way that we worship Allah, right? To make our worship even more beautiful, to be even more righteous servants of Allah. And this is what ihsan is, right? That you worship Allah as though you can see him. And even if you cannot bring that feeling, then you remember that he is looking at you. He is watching you, right? So this is what brings about ihsan. And then when Allah is al-basir, it means that we should rely upon him. That when something has happened, he has seen it, right? When something is happening, he is looking. He is watching out. Even if you can't see, right? You cannot see the germs on your hands. You cannot see what's happening inside of your body, right? You go to the doctor, right? The doctor takes a look, but the doctor misses the most obvious things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen it, right? He sees what you miss. He sees all states, all circumstances, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he has such perfect basar, then when we realize this, we're able to put our trust in him. That, Ya Allah, I cannot see, but you can see. I don't know, but you know. And this is why we should trust his decisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِي خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. That indeed Allah expands provision for his servants, right? Whomever that he wants. And he also restricts it. He is fully aware and seeing of his servants, meaning he sees his servants, he knows them. So we should trust his decisions because he knows what is best for us. And this is rida, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, he knows me. He has been watching me. He knows how I was and how I am, what I am doing. So he knows what is best for me. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, then realize that if he has seen it, meaning what you're doing, then that is enough. Even if people don't see your good work, even if people don't acknowledge it. Because sometimes really you work so hard, you put in so much effort, and people don't even realize, they don't even acknowledge it. They don't even thank you for it. So make him see, right? Do what you do for his sake. So when you know that Allah is watching you, then this brings about feelings of sincerity also. This is why we're told, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, that rely upon Al-Aziz Al-Rahim, the one who sees you when you stand. Meaning when you stand to pray, Allah is watching you. When you stand up to obey him, to do something good, when you rise up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, it means that we should do good so that he will look at us with his approval on the day of judgment. You see, there are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at on the day of judgment. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, meaning he knows exactly what they're doing, but he will not honor them. He will not dignify them by casting his glance on them, right? By letting them feel that they have been seen in their predicament. Allahu Akbar. So we don't want to be of those people, وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at. So we want to be of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at with his approval. Right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. This is what we want. We don't want to be screened away from Allah. We want to be in the presence of God. As we learn that kalla innahum 'an rabbihim yawma idhil lamahjubun, that some people will be screened away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how should we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name? First of all, let us include this name in our dua. When you're going through some difficulty and you're making dua, you're pouring your heart out before Allah, say, Ya Allah, you are al-basir. You see me. You see my condition. You see what I am doing. You see that I have done whatever that I could. You see that I am trying. You see that I am trying to be patient. I'm trying to be strong. Right? So affirm this. Musa alayhi salam, he was scared of facing Fir'aun. And he made this long dua, right? قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. You are ever seeing of us. You are watching me. You can see my effort. You can see my work. You can see my fear. Right? So when you're making dua, include this name in your dua. That Ya Allah, you are al-basir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the recognition of his names, the real understanding, the real realization, so that we don't just, you know, understand their meaning in the academic sense, but that we also internalize these meanings and we remember them throughout our lives, through our struggles and through our difficulties. Bi-idhnillah. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.